following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Matters of the Heart, a study through the book of 2 Corinthians. More information about this study is available at www.refugefamily.com.
Father, I do thank you, Lord, for this particular chapter in the book of 2 Corinthians, this small letter that was sent to the Corinthians, Lord, with the love of Christ just threaded through it, the love that Paul had for these people threaded through it. Father, the conviction that went on during the time that it was received and heard, Lord. Father, for lives that were changed during that time and have been changed ever since, Lord, on people who have read this particular book. Father, I thank you that tonight we get this opportunity to look into this. And Father, I pray that we would be sensitive to your voice, that your word would be spoken and only your word. I pray, Father, that each one of us would hear the things that we're supposed to hear tonight, Lord, and that we would not only hear it, but that we would respond to it, and that we would have changed lives because we've been in this study, not only tonight, but throughout this whole study. Lord, we want to glorify you. We want to lift you up. And Father, we do pray for our nation. We pray, God, that you would touch the hearts of our leaders and that you would bring them to repentance, Lord, that you would bring them to a place, Lord, of their recognition for a Savior at the end of the day that really is all that matters. And Father, I pray for every Christian in these United States, Lord, that you would convict them of the places that they're walking, the things that they're doing, Father, that they would turn around, that they would repent, that they would humble themselves and pray and seek your face, that we would turn from our wicked ways so that you can hear from heaven and so that you can heal our land. Father, help us to be prayer warriors on this and to not give up. And Lord, speaking of warriors, the warriors group that's going on in the Spanish ministry tonight, Lord, Father, they've requested special prayer. Lord, that you would touch these men and women who have come to this meeting. Father, that you would strengthen them and that you would meet them in the places, Lord, where no one else can go. No one else can reach that particular hurt, that particular pain. Lord, that you would make your presence so known to them. Father, that they would be just so aware of you and that they would hear your voice speaking and saying, here's the way, walk ye in it. Father, I pray just a special blessing on them tonight as they're gathered together and that you would be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. And so today, Bill had handed me this morning, and it says, the two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why. That's chapter 13. That was Mark Twain who said that. And that's what chapter 13 is in the book of 2 Corinthians. Corinthians is where we're at. And I'll probably be calling them 2 Christians and all sorts of other things tonight, but that's what I've been doing the whole time. But this, as I labored, and I'm telling you, I labored over this chapter. And you wouldn't think in this last chapter that it would be something that would really like, oh, I want to know what he's saying here. And as I went over it, you know, at first glance, you read over it and you kind of see Paul just being so frustrated and being so upset. And come on, guys, get it together. Won't you just get it together? Do you see him like that? Did anybody else see him like that at first reading? But then I look at the whole letter and I go, I don't think that's what he was doing. I think he was writing it saying, guys, please, please, for the love of Christ, repent. Please, for the love of God, please walk in his ways. Be made complete in him. And so I saw it in a completely different light. And so we start with verse 1, and it says, "This will be the third time I am coming to you." Now, we don't know anything about the second time that he's talking about. We don't know for sure if even it was a second letter, just a letter that came to him, and it wasn't him personally. But he was saying, "This is going to be my third time that I come to you." And every time I see third or three used in Scripture, I'm always reminded, number one, of the Trinity, and that integral part that it plays in our lives, that important part that it plays in our lives, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that we are watched over by them, that we are cared for by them. And he goes on to say, "By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established." And this is taken from Deuteronomy 15, 15. But what he's saying is not that he's going to come as a judge. He's coming as a counselor. He's one who will stand up for or help to make sentences, if you will, for the people that need to have discipline done in Corinth. And so he's there for that part. And he said, "I've told you before and foretell as if I were present the second time, and now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before and to all the rest that if I come again, I will not spare. I will give you the whole counsel of God," is what he's saying. "I'm going to give you the whole counsel of God." You guys know what that whole counsel of God is. He's telling them there in Corinth. "Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak towards you, but mighty in you." Christ is mighty in you. I see him here with that people. God lives in you. He is mighty in you. He is not weak in you. He has given you his power. And so he goes on to say, "For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God." And you know, when you think about Jesus on that cross, and you think about him being beaten, and you think about him carrying that cross through the streets, and just how weak he must have appeared, I would have looked at him. I probably would have thought that. I probably would have. But by the power of the living God, God the Father, he was raised from the dead. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, it was for nothing if there weren't the resurrection. It is the resurrection. Death could not hold him. It was his blood that was shed for all of our sins, but it was the resurrection that made the difference. Death could not hold him. And because death could not hold him, death can't hold us anymore if we will simply commit ourselves to him, to Jesus Christ, and live for him. "For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you." We shall live with him by the power of God towards you. We will live with him. Do you ever wake up in the morning and just go, "Oh God, I can't wait to go with you. I can't wait for you to come for me." This morning was one of those mornings, only it wasn't, "God, I can't wait to go with you." Oh God, please take me. You know, you just get to the end of your end of, you're just tired, you know? And after the tea and after the blah and after Mother's Day, you know, that day of rest that we have. And all of those things that are going on. And the body says, you know, the mind's going, "And then we'll go and then we'll do." And the body says, "Oh, no, we will not. Because I ain't leaving. I ain't even leaving the house. Mm-mm. You can't make me." But that's how I felt this morning. And you know, it's like those jokes. "I don't want to go to church today." "Honey, you got to go to church today." "I don't want to go to church today." "Honey, you really got to go to church today." "But I don't want to. I don't feel like it." "Honey, you have to go. You're the pastor." You know, see, we all feel that way sometimes, don't we? Sometimes? Okay, thank you, everybody, for shaking your head there. I love that. "But we live with him by the power of God that we've shown towards you." It's the power of God that we've shown towards you. You've seen him at work in us. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith, verse 5. And verse 5, that first part there, could be tied together with verse 3. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. What does it mean to be in the faith? What does it mean to be in Christ? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? What are you looking toward? It is the evidence of things that are not seen. What things in your life are you excited about someday seeing? And you know that this faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. He's saying to them, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, and examine yourself to see if you are in the faith, because you are in the faith because I showed you the faith of Jesus Christ. When I came here, I showed you the way to live in Christ. I showed you the way to give your heart to Christ. Since there is such a big deal about whether or not I'm apostle, look at yourselves. You only need to look at yourselves to see what I've done. And he goes on to say, test yourselves. Test yourselves. Am I in the faith? Am I in Christ? Am I fully immersed in him? That's a big question for most of us. Am I totally, completely consumed in Christ? Can people look at me and see something of Jesus? Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Don't you know that he's in you? He lives in you. The day that you said, Jesus, come and live in my heart, that's exactly where he is. That's where he is today. He will always be there. He will never leave you or forsake you. But then it goes on to say, unless indeed you are disqualified. This word disqualified means the way that metals were dealt with. Some metals were shown to be false. And this is what it is. There are false Christians, you know that. There are people who I've seen it so many times. I've seen people in the excitement of the moment, and they're, oh, yes, I accept God. I accept, oh, they're jumping around, and they're running around. Let me tell you my testimony. I want to tell you my testimony. Let me tell you all about everything I ever did, and la, 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 la. And they're all about, and all of a sudden, one day, you see them, and they're back in the same place they were before that happened. Because, you see, it's not how high you jump. It's how straight you walk when you come down. It all has to do with our walk with Christ on a daily basis. On a daily basis. It's not what happened back there, although that was important. It's not what's going to happen over there, although that's important. It's what's happening today. So we don't want to spend all of our time there. We don't want to spend all of our time in the future. We want to spend our time today, and we want to redeem the time because the time is short. And we need to be about the Father's business. But I trust, verse 6, that you will know that we are not disqualified. We are not false teachers. Guys, Corinthians, you know this about us. We've been around you enough that you know that we are not false teachers. You know that what we've done is true. You have seen miracles. You have seen things happen amongst you through us. You know that we're not false teachers. You know that we're not disqualified. Now I pray, verse 7, to God that you do no evil. And you know what? I pray today that I do no evil. And I pray for others today that they would do no evil. But temptation will come. I guarantee you, temptation will come. And so my prayer for myself, as well as for all of you, as well as for my husband, my family, those that I pray for, Lord, would you strengthen us in temptation. Strengthen us in temptation. It's not so much that we don't need that temptation there, but we need to be strengthened in it to stand against it and to not practice that sin anymore. We'll always be tempted by something. There's always something ready to draw us away from Christ, always. Not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. To the false teachers that were there, they would seem to be disqualified. They would seem to be false teachers to them, but they are not. And the people in Corinth knew that. For we do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we can do nothing against Jesus, but for Jesus. We live for him. We give all we have of him to you. You know, Paul was at a place where he was ready to lay down his life for those who he'd shared Christ with. You remember when he talked about, I would give my salvation. Lord, if you would just save these. If I could, I would lay down my own salvation for these people. That's the kind of love that is true. That's the kind of love that's pure. That's the kind of love that Paul had. That's the kind of love that we have if we have the love of Christ, if we are in the faith, if we are in Christ, if we are walking in the truth. For we are glad when you are weak, when we are weak and you are strong. We appear weak. But remember, in our weakness, he is made strong. And so they may appear weak, but you are strong. And this we also pray, that you may be made complete. What does that mean, to be made complete? It means that you would be completely fulfilled, completely fulfilled. Most of us know that a husband doesn't fulfill us, that children do not fulfill us. A best friend does not fulfill us. It doesn't complete us. You know, it's so romantic and sounds so wonderful when a lovely man says, you complete me. No, I don't. I don't complete him. But Jesus Christ, we are completely complete in him. If we are in the faith, in the truth, and we are for the truth and don't argue against the truth. We are complete in him. Verse 10, therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction. I'm writing this to you so I have a chance to think about what it is that I'm saying. You do that, don't you, when you send off emails, when you send off letters? How many times in your lifetime have you, before there was emails, you went to write a letter and you were upset? Boy, and you wrote it all down, and you, okay, and then you read it, and you, okay, we start with the next one, because that one's all crumpled up, and that one's put aside, and we start over again. Or you'd go through your email that you've just sent off to this company that's really done something, and I'm giving this company a piece of my mind. Well, you know what? I don't have a piece of my mind to spare. So I read over it and give them a piece of what Jesus would share with them. But how many times have we gone over when we've written something and we make sure that what we've said is exactly what we want to say? And then the other person still misinterprets it, right? Yeah, because in writing, unless you're speaking face to face, you can't tell that some of those things. But he's saying, I've done this in writing because I have every bit of authority to come to you and really rail on you. Remember when Jesus went into the temple and he turned over the tables and he had that godly wrath over those that were selling in the temple? and he dealt with them, he had a right to do that. Paul had a right to be angry with the direction that these people were going. They knew the truth. They knew the truth. They had experienced the fullness of Christ. They had experienced so much. He had every right to just, when he talked to them. But he decided, I think I'll write first, so that when I come to you, I can speak to you in words of edification. I can encourage you. I can strengthen you. I can exhort you onto better things. I don't want to destroy you. Jesus doesn't want to destroy us. When we're going the wrong direction, God doesn't want to just, let's just see how much we can grind her down, make sure that she doesn't ever get up again and never does this thing again. That's not what he's doing. He says, I know you, and I know that what you need to do right now is repent. And what is repentance? It's completely turning away from what we know to be wrong, what we know to be sin. You know what, ladies? We can fool ourselves a lot, but we know what sin is. You know, when people say things, well, I didn't realize I was doing that. Oh, yes, you did. Or you would not be doing it, because most of those things don't come naturally to us. We have to work at those things. We have to practice sin to be really good at it. But those things that we've practiced, let's put them aside. Let's be done with them. Let's deal with them and be encouraged in that walk with the Lord. Be encouraged to walk with him and in him, to be in the faith. And therefore, I write the, which we just did. And verse 11, finally, brethren, and he's ready to close this short letter. Finally, brethren, farewell. And what this word farewell means in the Greek is rejoice. Finally, what? Wait a minute. You've just gone over all of these things that are, you know, that we're like, we need to get it together and all of these things. And now you're saying to us we can rejoice? Absolutely. When we have a repentant heart, we can rejoice. And we can rejoice in the Lord and all of the good things that he has for us. Then he goes on to say, and four different things. Become complete. Become complete. And in that, he means exactly that. Become complete in Christ. Be that completeness. It's the same, and become complete, the verb is the same as the one used of mending nets in Matthew 4:21. And it can also mean mend your ways. Mend your ways. The Corinthians needed to stop quarreling and sinning and live in harmony with each other. That's what we need to do. The second one is that we are to be of good comfort. And be of good comfort may also be understood as be encouraged, be exhorted. They had been given strong admonitions by Paul. Here he tells them to receive that admonition in a good spirit and to do what? Act on it. Receive that admonition and put feet to it. Let's not be hearers of the word, but doers. Not hearers only. Because it all sounds really good, and it really does work. But let's be doers of the word. And then number three, be of one mind. The only way, of course, that we can be of one mind is what? When we are in Christ. When we have the mind of Christ. That's the only way that we can have that one mind. When we have the mind of Christ, it's to think as he thinks, to bring all our thoughts and reasonings in subjection to him. And then it says that we are to live in peace. Remember in verse 20 of chapter 12, Paul talked about the things that were going on there. Do you think they were living in peace? I don't think so. It said that they were fighting, that they were arguing, that they were jealous, that they were deceitful, that they were all of these things. He says, live in peace. This is always, when there are those disputes and wranglings among us, it's always the case when legalism is allowed to enter. They're not doing it right. It's not that I'm not doing it, they are not doing it right. You know, it's kind of funny. When, do you ever, when you're on the scale, okay, you get on the scale and you go, that can't be right. You know, it's the scale's fault, isn't it? It's the scale's fault. It's because the scale is on the rug. It's because it's on the floor. It's because it's, I'm not, so, have you seen that cartoon where the lady's laying with her feet up and the scale is here? That's the way you're supposed to weigh. But it's always somebody else's fault. And God's telling us here, take responsibility, deal with it, do what you know you need to do, and move forward. So live in peace. So Paul had told them first to discipline the offenders and to get along with their fellow Christians in peace. And if they do this, the God of love and peace will be with them. It says right there, be of good comfort, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Isn't he always with us? But you know, in the translation of this, it says that, and the God of love and peace will manifest himself to you. You will see him. You will see him in a new light. I was so excited when somebody told me at the tea that there was a lady that was sitting next to her, and she's not a Christian, and she was a neighbor of this lady. I can't even remember who the person was that was talking to me. But she said, what did the speaker mean when she said God spoke to her? Did you ever find yourself asking that question when you were a new believer? What does it mean that God spoke to you? What does that mean? How did he speak to you? And he speaks to our hearts. He speaks through the word. He speaks in our prayer time. He speaks when something comes to mind. He speaks through us and in us. And we recognize that. Why? Because the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And so he would manifest himself to us if we will become complete, if we will be of one mind, if we be of good comfort, if we live in peace, and that God of love and peace will manifest himself to us. Greet one another with a holy kiss. This is not a kiss of pretend. This is not a kiss. It's a holy kiss. And a lot of nations right now do it with either just one cheek or both cheeks or whatever. In America, not so much. But we usually use the holy handshake or the holy hug. You like that one? Yes. Mm-hmm. But make sure that it's pure. God says, greet one another with a holy kiss. That's not something where you expect something in return. It's not phony. It's real. I care about you. It says that we are to greet one another. Greet one another. And all of the saints, verse 13, all of the saints greet you. All of the saints everywhere. Corinthians, you guys are not alone. All of the saints are praying for you. And I trust that you are praying for them. All of the saints greet you. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is one of those places where the Trinity shows up in one verse. May the Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God's riches at Christ's expense of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to have communion with the Holy Spirit? Take it in. Just take in that Holy Spirit. Right there, you have the whole of the Trinity there. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And amen. And with this, we finish 2 Corinthians. Now, as I do, I think I've probably done it every time we've finished a book. How has this book changed me? What have I learned from this group of verses that I have read, that I have studied? Has it changed me? Does it make me a better person than I was when I started this study? I look at you guys and I say, yes, it has. And I trust that it has in me as well. That I'm being changed into his likeness. Can you just see it, ladies? That day when he comes for us and he says, come on up here, and we put on that new body. You know, when we get to him, and we get to see him face to face. And it says, when we see him, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. We'll really see Jesus. We'll really see the face of God. And it's closer than any time you ever thought. I think I've told you before about, can't think of his name right now, Odin Fong. One time he was doing an altar call, and he said, I'm going to count backwards from 10. You have 10 seconds to accept the Lord. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, time's up. We never have as much time as we think we have. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, but draw close to him. And I'll see you here next week with Margaret Ashmore. Thank you. She has two names, Margaret Ashmore. I'll see you here next week with that, and let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your presence with us, Lord. We are thankful that you have just shown to us that yourself. You've shown to us yourself, and we are thankful for it, Lord, and we are blessed. We honor you. We lay down our own lives for our friends, Lord, in the way that you laid down your life for us. Help us, Lord, to see those things that are displeasing to you in our lives and repent of them, change them. Lord, to put off the works of the flesh, the greed, the bitterness, the jealousies, all that list, Lord, that we would just put them off, and that we would put on Jesus, that we would be found in the faith, completely immersed, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Lord, that we would be in communion with the Holy Spirit, that we would know the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that it would be manifested in our lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your presence amongst us tonight. I know you've spoken some things tonight. And for some of us, Lord, some of the things that we heard were a little bit hard because we know that you want to deal with something, and we don't really want to deal with it right now. But, Lord, give us the strength to lay down those things lay them aside, and allow you to do that incision in our hearts, and to remove those things that are harmful to us, harmful to your body, Lord. And Father, that you would mend it. That you would heal our broken hearts, Lord. That you would encourage us in our walks with you. Lord, that the world would see. Oh, that the world would see you living through us. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up. Hands up, hands up, all believers,
take up your cross and carry it on.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.